was blind, but now I see.
And let's just remain standing if you'd like. If you'd like to read along with us in the scriptures, turn to Revelation, the first chapter. And we'll read the first three verses of the first chapter of the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now there's a blessing for us to read, just to be able just to read the scripture now. Blessed is he that readeth. Now that's a blessing. They that hear, that's a blessing just to hear. See, it's a blessing just to be able to read it. It's a blessing to be able to hear it. But now look at the other. And keep those things which are written therein. It's a blessing for those that keep it. See the three blessings that go with it? It's just a blessing to be able to read the word of the Lord. It's a blessing to just to hear somebody read it themselves to you. What if you was blind? You couldn't read. See? What if then you couldn't hear? So then it's a blessing to be able to read. It's a blessing to be able to hear somebody read it. But the greatest blessing of all is Elias, where it says to those that keep those things which are written therein. And there's where the greatest blessing comes in at. That's not my message tonight, but I just wanted you to think about that. That it's a blessing just to read the word. Then you hear Brother Branham sometimes say, well, we've read his scripture, said it'd be all right now. It'd be fine just to go home, you know. But he said the word's been read and said it was a great thing to be able. In the Old Testament, they stood for 6 hours when they found a scroll one time that hadn't been read. They stood for 6 hours to listen to that scroll read. That was back when they didn't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Surely a person claiming the baptism of the Holy Ghost would want to hear the word, wouldn't he? Let's pray together. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you'd come now and just speak to us, because we know without you, then there's nothing in this world that would be worth anything. Guide us all. Be with us each one. Forgive our many sins. Lord, these words that you've given us, may we think upon these things. May they dwell deeply within our heart. Forgive our sins, for Lord, we know we sin so much. But yet you promised us. You made a sacrifice, and that's what we look to. Guide us now in Jesus' name. You may be seated. But what I wanted you to get to really was what we've been trying to preach now for quite a while. We've been through the seals from 1979. We've preached on them. That's going into 5 years that we spoke on the seals. That's a great thing, because a lot of people couldn't talk 5 minutes on them and really see what the prophet's saying. And we've been on it for 5 years going on it to try to see what he was saying, and still hadn't run out of something to preach on. We just got to the place now that, as I told Brother Woodby one day, I said, I've just got to the place now that I want to preach. You know, because before then I had a burden for trying to preach, trying to get you to see what I was talking about. Until I delivered the message that was on my heart, I had that burden for that. Now I want to preach. Because I want people to see the Lord Jesus Christ as I see him, just from the seals. The prophet said it become a brand new book to him when the seals broke. Well, that's what I believe about it to me. It's become a brand new book to me, because I can see Christ then. And just watch it now in the message tonight. We've been studying on the seals. We went through the seventh seal. We found out many of the things the prophet said on the seal book. We covered everything stage by stage coming up to how that it was would to be revealed right around the coming of the Lord. Brother Brown said whatever had happened upon the earth at that time. See, then we saw that there was a great something going on back there while he was preaching that week of the seals. But he said, it's gone from you and you can't see it. But said, now right around the coming of the Lord, there'd be seven thunders. Of those seven mysteries would be revealed to us. Well, then I believe we're right at the coming of the Lord. Because I believe that he is, I'm talking about physically to us. Now, it's not a physical return of the Lord Jesus to the bride of Jesus Christ. It's a rapture. But then that is a physical thing when you say it that way. So I'm looking at the coming of the Lord. I believe he's already come to me in what I've preached. The message I've preached, he's come to it to back it up. If you'll just believe it. But now see, if you won't believe it, then it won't do you any good. I've tried to live the life. Maybe it's been me living it. Maybe I am a legalist and everything else. Maybe I'm everything in the world, but still I believe the Lord's honored his word. I believe he's honored his word. I believe he's placed the message out until it stands today to where that we're not afraid for people to ask us questions or say things to us about anything we've said. Because if it's wrong, I want to get rid of it. You know, I want it straightened up if it's wrong. See, anything, it's no problem to me to say, I'm sorry. That's no problem to me because I'm just built that way. But that's part of my makeup and that's part of my message. Because, see, me and my message are one and you can't separate us. You say, yes, but you're only preaching Brother Brown's message. That's right. But it's the message that was revealed to me. And look what it says about this message here. Look in your Bible what it says about it now. We believe in one true and living God. We don't believe in a Trinitarian doctrine. And watch it, and it'll prove more and more tonight, and more over and over, that there is just one true and living God. I mean, we could spend hours talking about how that there couldn't be three gods because one of them would have to create the other two, and if it did, then it wouldn't be a God. Then I asked a man just the other day, I said, do you believe, sir, and he was a Pentecostal, I said, do you believe in eternal sonship? He said, what do you mean? I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ was eternal in the eternal sonship? I said, do you believe his flesh? In other words, put it down where he could understand it more plainer. I said, do you believe his flesh was eternal? Well, he couldn't believe his flesh was eternal because you couldn't kill it over there when it went to the cross and died. See, if it was eternal, there'd be no way to destroy it. I said, we don't believe in eternal sonship. I said, that's Catholic doctrine. And I said, y'all have got the same idea they've got. Well, see, he didn't like that because I was telling him what they believe. They believe in eternal sonship. Well, then we can't believe in three literal gods because one would have to create the other two and that'd make two of them not gods then. Because they can't be co-equal and co-eternal and call it Father, Son, Holy Ghost because there ain't no way the Son could be co-eternal with the Father. But see, we believe in that, but I want you to see something tonight from the message that the prophet said. And just see if you can see that mystery in the seals. Now, I'm wanting to get ahead of my notes, but I want to try to follow it. I want you to see that mystery in the seals, and you'll see the very mystery of one true and living God. And you'll see why the scripture there says it like, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him. Now who's it talking about? The revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him. Gave who? Gave Jesus Christ. Not a second person. See, we don't believe in things like that. But it was a revelation of his own self. That he didn't previously know while he was on the earth. Brother Branham said on page 14 of the Church Age book, he said Jesus didn't know his part in the kingdom. But said after his death, burial, and resurrection, when he came to John on the Isle of Patmos, then he knew his part. See, he knew he was God. But there was a part there to play. Alright, then in the parts of the play, here comes that revelation that was likened to Jesus when he was upon the earth, of his part in the kingdom and things that was to be done. Here it comes to him, and what is it? It's the revelation God gave to Jesus. He gave him a revelation of his own self. See, then maybe one of these days we'll see why Brother Brown spent so much time talking about himself. You'll see why I spend so much time talking about myself. Because that's all the way I can tell you about God is what God is in me. Oh, I can make great speeches every night how that God was with the prophet and a great thing. It's an amazing thing to me that you can stand in a congregation, and I've done it. And you can talk about God and how they pierced the side of the Lord Jesus Christ and nailed him on a tree. People just sit there. You can start in a minute, and you can start talking about Brother Branham in the last days and how his wife died and his little daughter died. And just cry like everything. Don't care about what Jesus and what happened to him and the nail prints in his hands. But talk about the prophet, and boy, they really get emotional. Well, I get emotional about both of it. I'm just like I told the brothers in the ministers meeting last night. There was a faithful old saying used to go around, you know, I'd rather be right in my heart and wrong in my doctrine than to be, you know, wrong in my heart and right in my doctrine. You've heard people say that, haven't you? You that have been around a while, you've heard it over and over. Well, why would you want either one when you can have it, both of it? Now, you have no excuse to be wrong in your doctrine. No excuse, none whatsoever, would you have to be wrong in your doctrine. Because you've got the prophet's message and the Bible. You have no excuse to be wrong in your doctrine. Then that statement is a statement trying to throw slander at you. What they're saying is, I'm right in my heart, right in my doctrine, and you're wrong in your heart and wrong in your doctrine. Ain't that what they're saying? Why would they make the statement if that ain't what they're saying? But people will say, I'd rather be right in my heart and wrong in my doctrine. See, they'll quote Brother Branham, but they don't get it all together. We have the opportunity to be both, right in heart and right in doctrine. I want them both right, don't you? Because that way I know that I'm right when I'm right in my heart and when I'm right in my doctrine. Then I can't fail that way. There's no failure to it because two rights don't make a wrong. But now two wrongs don't make a right. See, neither one of them worked that way. But now, just think, that was the revelation. It says that God give to Jesus to give unto him. Give it to John now. See, on the Isle of Patmos. Now, how did it get to John? Watch the rest of the scripture. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent. Now, it didn't say Jesus come down, you know, like that. Watch what it says, come, and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, this message that was to be sent was given to Jesus. He was that angel that come to John on the Isle of Patmos. The prophet said he was. But then you're not talking about there are three or four different persons. You're talking about the same person. But as I said in the Church Age series, the prophet covered it, that he didn't understand his part in the kingdom when he was preaching upon the earth. But at the time of the Isle of Patmos, he understood it exactly. He was limited to that flesh just like you're limited to the flesh. The Bible says he growed in grace and knowledge. Now, if he was Almighty God, then why would he grow in grace and knowledge? See, that's what a Trinitarian would say to you. But God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and that flesh then growed in grace and knowledge. That's understanding that he had about things. Well, there was something there he didn't get until he died. But when he died and came here to this place, then he has the mystery now. And it says, blessed is he that just reads this mystery. Blessed is he that hears this mystery. But especially now, blessed is he that doeth what this word says. That's why our life, we need to have it so careful and so on the word And yet we fail and fail and fail, but yet we try to live the life as much as we can because we don't want to be a reflection upon the gospel that we claim to preach. See, then the message is Jesus Christ. Now, what I want us to look at tonight is just something from what we've been thinking about now for quite a while. We've been studying about the seventh seal and the things that it is, and we're promised right around the coming of the Lord, as I said, then that seal would break unto us and we'd understand. Now, what have we found that seventh seal to cover? We found that it covers the coming of the Lord. We've talked on that. We found that it covers the third pull. We hadn't spoke much on that because later on, the Lord willing, we'll be coming back to that. But we know it's the third pull because the prophet said it was in the seal book. But we found that it's the revelation of those seven thunders is under that seventh seal. And that is the mystery that was contained in those seven seals. All right, now that's the mystery. That's the thing that's there. But now, what I want you to think about now, let's go to another message and see if we can find the same identical thing in another message, taught the same way but on into deeper depth than what we found the seals to be, seal book to be showing to us. Because in the seal book, we found it to be His coming. We found it to be the third pull. We found it to be the seven thunders. See, we found it to be the revelation contained in those seven seals and those seven thunders, what it was. Now let's see if we can find something in another message. Then the Bible says, let everything be proved in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, Brother Branham, when he was preaching on Christ, the mystery of God revealed on page 33, he starts talking about the seals and the ages and the things of Luther and comparing it and the thunders and all and coming down. And when he does, he gets on page 34, he says, now if you miss it, said, come back to this message. Now, Christ the mystery of God revealed is where we're to go to. If you don't understand what he's talking about in the seal book, he didn't say go to Gunnis's book of records. He didn't say go down to the local library and get you a book that tells you all about the pre-Nicene and the Nicene fathers and the great things that I know ministers that personally spend hours studying on those things. That's their business. That's nothing to me. He didn't say go to Daniel 70 weeks. He didn't say go to Feast of the Trumpets or Marriage and Divorce or any other message. He said to go to come back to this message of Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He said, if you miss it in the seals, come back to there. All right, then he was bringing it out. Let's just read that where you'll make sure to get it. But I want you to see what I'm talking about. He comes down and talking about, as I said, he talks about the comparing the seven seals like Martin Luther coming out and John Wesley, and then talks about the great mystery of the cloud and all and it being materialized in a revelation to reveal all the things coming down. Then he gets down to this. He says, then come back in the last days and pick up all these mysteries and clearly explain it, reveal it, why it's all of the last days when this great mystery that God had in His heart is being revealed. Do you get it? If you fail, come back to this tape again. I don't know how much longer I'll be with you. Remember, this is the truth of thus saith the Lord. It's the truth. It's the Scriptures. Now, how many remembers what I spoke here at the church about that? You remember the message of how that it's thus saith the Lord, it's the Scriptures? You remember the line that we used? Not that you would just be saying there's going to be a car wreck out here in front of the church 5 minutes from now, that's thus saith the Lord. You can't find that in the Scriptures. You can't find that written in the Scriptures. So when the prophet would say, thus saith the Lord, a lot of times he'd say just like that, it's the Scriptures. All right, what's he saying? He's saying every Scripture in the Bible lines up to this one point. Everything in the Bible points at this one thing. Every Scripture is lined up, thus saith the Lord, the Scriptures, comes down to this one message, he said. Now, let's just look at something else while we're at it. Look at page 1. I just noticed the other day he's saying this. I'd never seen this part of the Christ of Mystery God revealed. This is on page 1. That was once just a while ago when you showed the vision that the little tabernacle here, but to store up the food, that there would come a time when this would all be needed. You remember the story? Most of you that's read the message and you that haven't, I'll refer to it just a minute. One time Brother Branham had a vision like that was to store up food, and he saw these two brethren in a little boat that they was going to go overseas. And they'd run up down the bank, and he said that was fine for that, but it wouldn't to carry them across. He said they're not preachers. The analysis of the whole vision and thing was, said, go back to Jeffersonville and store up food. They was going to take Brother Branham. He was supposed to go overseas. And they had set up for a great lengthy meetings, he thought. But come to find it out, they was going to have just one meeting. And that's what the little boat was. And the two men that was in the little boat, see, the little boat was all right here in the United States to go take one meeting. But it wasn't enough to take his time to fly all the way overseas and get tied up. And those two men were hunters. They were not ministers. They wanted him to go over there, or vacationers or something. They wanted him to go over there and just take a vacation and go down through this play and over this way, you know, and they'd just take a vacation, maybe do something. Brother Brown said that wasn't it, and the Lord told him, said, go back to Jeffersonville and store up food because it'll be needed. He went back to Jeffersonville as long about 62. I'm not exactly, maybe 61, somewhere right in there. He went back to Jeffersonville and he preached Stature of a Perfect Man, Spoken Words of the Original Seed, preached all of them messages, and that was the storing up the food that he's talking about. Now watch him. But to store up the food, that there would come a time when this would all be needed. When we seen Brother Solomon and Brother Woods ready to cross over into another country, but said, store up food for the time. Lord, reverently, I've tried to do that. Now listen, he's praying. Now, this is in his prayer. And now this morning, in this lesson that we thought of, I pray that you'll cap it all off. Cap off what now? Cap off all the stored up food. You see what he's saying? He's saying, Lord, cap off all the stored up food. Lord, to show that you're God and this is your word and your truth, grant it, Lord, that the people might feed their own and grow fat, as it were, in the grace of God. What does it say in Malachi over there where it says we'll grow up as calves in a stall? You know, you feed a calf in a stall, you feed it real good food and everything to get the grass out of it, and it grows real fat. That's what the gospel refers us to, as to where we feed on the gospel until we just become like a fattened little calf, you know, ready for the kill. Good and tender and good meat off of it. You go into a restaurant and you order one. And you get an old steak that's tough and stringy. You know where that's been. That's been some old scrawny looking beef that's run around over the hillside and nothing to eat. But if it's stored up food, it's a good tender steak. You can just take a fork and cut it. As we say around here, and my boy, one of them said the other day, said rinds down in Athens will spoil you. We went somewhere else and eat a steak. It wasn't too good. He said, rinds will just spoil you because they have a good steak. But see, that's what we're supposed to be. But Brother Branham, see, is saying, now, Lord, cap off all that I've said previous to this. All right, then this would be the capstone message then of his entire message. You see what I'm driving at? This Christ the Mystery of God reveal. If you want to know anything about the headstone, read this book, and when you get over about page 65, slow down. Because from 50 on to the end of it, he's talking about the headstone. So he says, Lord, cap off today what I've said all this time. And he said, don't go to Christ the Mystery of God revealed or Gunnis' book of records anywhere. Go to this message if you don't understand the seal. Then this message will have to say the same thing the seal said, or it'll be contrary. Something's wrong. Now, then in this book, we'll see that it proves exactly what the prophet said, but it goes further than he went on the seals. It goes further than just the original, you know, what he preached on the seal book. Now we'll watch that as it goes through. But we looked at the message of the prophet. Now watch it compare. The calf is the end of something. Brother Brown says, now here's this, let this Lord be the end of this and cap it off, that people might see today your mercy. The headstone is the cap to the church, the last thing added. It's the cap. So now right around the coming of the Lord, the capstone's coming to the church and seal the church. See, then in that, then you'll know that what's been said all the time has got to be right. What did we find when we were studying the seal on the seal book, the seventh seal? What did we find that that seventh seal, what did the prophet say? You remember on page 557, he said it's in a threefold manner. Now, if you want these read, you just raise your hand up. I'll read it to you because I've got the page numbers. But he said that the seventh seal was in a threefold manner. He said, I'll speak to you by God's help of a fold of it. Now, what did he say the first fold of the seventh seal was? Even the children ought to be able to say, it's the seven thunders, because I've quoted that enough and read it enough. You ought to be able to say the first fold of the seventh seal is those seven thunders, because that's what the prophet said that first fold was on 557 of the seal book. Now, he said, I'll speak to you of a fold of it, and he spoke about it being the thunders. Now, let's just look on Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and let's see if we can find the threefold manner of the seventh seal. Because he said it would open in a threefold manner. Let's look at Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and see if we can see what that threefold manner is. Now it'll take two or three sermons to cover it, what I see about it. Because I want to go real slow to make sure that you see that this compares exactly with the seal, because he said, if you miss it in the seals now, if you missed it while we were going through the seals, since 1979, and you that would hear on tape or anything, if you miss what's said through there, listen very carefully now, because here is something to be able to give you one more chance to look at it, maybe. Because he said, if you've missed it in the seals, come back to this message of Christ the mystery God revealed. So it gives us another chance, see, to look at something to make sure that what we see is right. Maybe you see something that's not pretty and, you know, real clear. Sister Ruth there had to tape up one eye one time because it was giving her trouble that she'd see blurred images. And they had to tape that eye up to where it'd keep her from just seeing blurred things, wouldn't it? All right? Then that to me is what the prophet's saying, that maybe our vision is blurred a little about the seals. Maybe we don't get exactly what the prophet's saying. So when he preaches this message, he said, I want you to understand, if you missed that back there, if you got a little blurred vision, listen now, because this will be the thing that will clear your vision and to make it where you can understand. See, then watch the threefold manner of Christ the mystery of God revealed. It would have to be the same threefold manner of the seventh seal. See, there'd be something wrong. Now, let's just establish that on Christ the mystery of God revealed, that the prophet is talking about the seventh seal. Not the first, second, or third, or fourth, or fifth, or the sixth, but he's talking about the seventh seal. Now, let's just establish that, in case anybody never, I'm sure we're all familiar with it, but in case anybody hadn't looked at Christ the mystery of God revealed, let's just establish this. Page 17 of Christ the mystery of God revealed. Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. That's what I want to speak on to the church this morning, the hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever begun, and how that it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. Now, if that ain't so perfect, I don't know how perfect the prophet could speak. He didn't say it how it's unfolded down to 1985 or 83. He said down to the present hour he was living, right there. See, then you'll find in here, he said, you'll see why I've done what I've done. He didn't say 1983's word unfolded. He said, unto this present hour we're living. Right down to where they was at. And then you'll understand clearly then on, I believe, what is being done. God's great mystery of how. It's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. See, he didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. He said, it's not, even the Son himself don't know when it's going to happen, see. God has this all to himself. It's a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of half hour, and seven thunders uttered their voices, and John was forbidden to write it, see, the coming of the Lord. All right, now, this is what he's talking about, ain't it? He ain't talking about the first seal. He's talking about the seventh seal. He just said there he was talking about it. We say we believe what he said, then he said that's what he's talking about. Now, on the seal book, when we went through it, we showed that the first fold, that it was in a threefold manner. I didn't go no further now than he did there, did I? I didn't try to explain any fold further or anything further than that. I just stopped there where he stopped. Because he said it was those seven thunders. That was the first fold of the seventh seal. Now, let's see if we can see that to be the first fold of Christ the mystery of God revealed. Now, what are seven thunders? What was that first fold of the threefold revelation? It was those seven thunders. What was the seven thunders? The revelations contained in the seven seals. What are the seven seals? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I hope we don't have to go through the seal book to prove that. I hope you've read it enough to know. I hope you've read the Bible enough to know that the Bible reveals one true and living God, and Jesus Christ is that God. Not a first person, second person, or a third, but the only person. But now, just watch now. What was that first fold of that threefold revelation under the seventh seal? It was those seven thunders. Those seven thunders reveal the entire revelation of the Bible. And we know those seven thunders to be the revelation contained in the seven seals, and those seven seals are the mystery of God. Now, if you want it, page 45 of It's the Rising of the Sun, Brother Branham talks about Jesus, and he said, he is those seals. Now, this revelation that we read about, that Jesus here received, he's now to give it to John to send it down to the earth to us. That is that revelation that was to be revealed. Now, it covers the church ages. It covers all the time of the earth. It covers everything that'll ever happen on this earth. But when you sum it all up, what is it? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the revelation of the Bible. That's why I read that scripture. That this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what, reading the scripture, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this is. The Bible. It doesn't really reveal, as I said, three gods or four gods. There's many ways God brought out in the Bible and showed himself. El Shaddai, the breasted one. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tiskenu, Jehovah, our banner, see, many things, our healer, our savior, all of those titles that you'll see in the Bible, they're speaking of the one true and living God. See, everything in the Bible points to Jesus Christ. In the Christ of Mystery of God revealed, Brother Ryan said, if you don't see Jesus in every verse in the Bible, he said, go back and read it again because you missed it. Then in the endless genealogies that we think of reading in Genesis of so-and-so begets so-and-so and so-and-so begets so-and-so, you get so tired reading those things. I remember the first time I read through the Bible, I'd start off up here, and if I saw so-and-so beget so-and-so, I'd just move over on this next page. Because I got tired of reading so-and-so beget so-and-so. But you know, in so-and-so begetting so-and-so, that's Jesus Christ. See, I skip in Jesus Christ because if I'd have seen the real true revelation, even Cain standing there. Cain would be opposition, see, and I could see Jesus Christ exactly. When the Bible speaks of Cain, I could see Christ. Because every verse in the Bible, when you talk about Pharaoh, what was happening with Pharaoh there? Here was a Moses on the other side. That was Jesus Christ. So every verse in the Bible now, that seven thunders is that mystery of this entire Bible. That's the revelation then of Jesus Christ. Now that is that revelation now. But what was the first fold now that we find in the Christ of mystery God revealed? Now that's what I was talking about it being in the seal book. That all through the seal book you'll hear Brother Branham saying, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, just over and over. Because that's what it was. And see, that's what those seven thunders were, was the completed revelation of Jesus Christ. All that would ever be told about Jesus Christ was put in them thunders. Because it's under the seventh seal and that it ended and there's nothing else after them. You don't add something else to it. That's why they rejected the book of Maccabees. That's why they rejected the seven books of Eden, you know. Maybe some of you have never heard of that, but there's books back there that people claim to be authentic, you know, and boy, they just praise and talk about the great book of Maccabees or the lost books of Eden. I read a little bit out of some of that, and as Brother Brown said, it don't compare with the Bible. So when they put the Bible together in book form like we have it now, God made sure they didn't add none of that stuff. Or the second book of Daniel. Or Aggie's Purgatory. That the Catholics use to try to purge you, see, through long, lengthy money paying. You can purge your grandma that died and went to hell, and she can come out of there and go up to heaven then. See, we laugh at that, and then we turn around and do worse than they do. But the thing of it is, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you can't add one more word to it. When those thunders sound, it's under the seventh seal, and you can't add another word. Because it would be adding to the revelation. All right, then we go to Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And in this message now, when the prophet finished it, he didn't add one word. Now listen to what I'm saying. Shake yourself a minute and think about it. He didn't add one word. He preached of two more folds. And told you the threefold revelation of the seventh seal, but he didn't add one word. Not one, not a dot, not a question mark. He didn't change it from the last word when it said there in Revelation, you know, and put a period. He didn't make a comma out of that. He didn't make an explanation point out of it. I'm just saying that word that you'll think about it. Nothing can't be added to the Bible. You can't add one period to it. If you did, then you'd be adding to the word, and the Bible says it had the plagues written in the book. So we have to look at this revelation of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and see what those three folds are, but we've got to see it under the basis that nothing can be added to the word. That doesn't mean that Brother Branham come up to the seventh seal and stopped on something and didn't tell the great mystery, and then here later on he added to the word to tell the great mystery. When he got to Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he preached the first fold over again, told the second fold, and the second fold had already happened. And the third fold was already in the Bible. The second fold, first, second, and third was already in the Bible. Everything in the Bible pointed down to this one message of Christ, the mystery of God revealed in the threefold revelation. But understand what I'm saying now. When I go through it, don't think that I'm adding anything when we get on the second fold of it that the prophet didn't put in the seal book. You'll find the second fold doesn't add one word. If it does, your doctrine is false. Now that's as close as I can get to it and say it honestly and right. My doctrine will be false if I add one word after the first fold. Now let's just see if God can hold it that perfect. As I told my wife today, I said, Honey, I've not preached this message. I've not brought the message to you as perfect as it's been brought. That the best anybody could say would be some little something that they'd misunderstand, or I'd misunderstand them. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought a message that stands before my brothers that they won't dare pick on the message that I preach. They'll take some little something that they misunderstood me, or I misunderstood them, or some little something I've said in, you know, through just talking, because I'm human and I run my mouth too much. No wonder the Bible says that it's the worst member that's in the body anywhere is the tongue. It says man can put bridles into a horse's mouth and guide it where he wants to go, but said the tongue can't be bridled. See, we ought to be careful what we say, because we cause hurt feelings, and there's no need of that. But the main thing that we want to do is make sure that we can be honest enough and pliable enough to where that we can say, I'm sorry. Not be so stiff and I ain't bothered nobody. Heaven help me to ever get into that place that I couldn't say I'm sorry. You get in that place, you get to that to where that you do something and then won't go repent. You do something to somebody, your wife or your husband or your children or something. My children, I hated, like I always do, I hated to whip my children. I'd let it go to the last moment before I'd ever whip them. Because I know what it is. But then you still, like I told one time, one of them done something and I didn't draw back like this. I've heard people talk about knocking their kids up against the wall, you know. Just take their hand, just knock them up against the wall. I slapped one of them's face one time, but it wasn't hard enough to even leave a print. I just wanted him to know. But I had the ability to break his neck, see. But these people, I'm a boy, I'll just hit them upside the head. Boy, they'll learn not to do that with me. Love is the best force to whoop anybody with. Look them in the eyes and say, kids, I love you. And the reason I'm going to whoop you is because I love you. See, then that way you can keep it right. And they can't get up mad at you. And that devil can get on their back and pout and stew and all, but it won't be long till that kid will say, well, you know, Daddy, Mama did love me. But don't ever, church, listen to me, don't ever get to the place that you can do things and not repent. Don't ever come to the place that you can get to where that you won't have that pliable, that soft heart the Bible speaks of, that when you do something wrong to somebody, that you can go up to them and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I've seen people hurt people and just laugh. I stood one day and let a boy whip me all over the place because I didn't want to hurt him. He said, that's chicken. No, when I decided to, I just punched him in the nose and it's all over with. See, I could have done that any time. But I let him whip me till I had scratches and scars all over me when I went to go in swimming. I was that way as a sinner. You say, that's a chicken. Well, I'll say this one thing. Down through my whole life, God's brought me down here to this message to where I'm at tonight. Where's he brought you? I don't have to deny nothing Brother Branham said to make my message fit, nor the life that Brother Branham lived. I don't have to deny anything. I've got what he said. But you just think now. I just want us to think honestly. Always be that way. I didn't mean to get off on that, but just think about it. Always be to the place that you can say, I love you. I'm sorry. See, that covers things to where that you wouldn't realize what that would cover and what it'll take care of in your life. But always be that way. But now listen. Let's see what the first fold Brother Brown covered in Christ the Mystery God Revealed. If the first fold he covered in the seventh seal was the seven thunders, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ, let's see if this first fold of the seventh seal that he covered in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, let's see if it says Jesus Christ is the full revelation. Let's see if there's another person left over somewhere to be added. You know, because in this one he didn't put another person. In the seal book I'm holding up now before the congregation. And surely we wouldn't find in Christ the mystery of God revealed another God somewhere to be added or another person. You watch it now when we get to it. The second foe is the bride. The bride is Jesus Christ made manifest. That's not another person. The church, you, the church, the born-again believer, you're Christ made manifest. That's not another person separate from God. That's God living in you. Right, let's just see if the first foe works that way then. Look at page 23, 22 and 23. If you have your book with you, of Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. Now remember I read in, or told you it was 557 of the seal book. He said it's in a threefold manner. And then I said the first fold of the threefold manner was the seven thunders, which was the revelation of the entire Bible, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let's see if it fits here. Watch this now. Notice God has had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. Now this seventh seal mystery secret he's going to cover here. And he said if you miss it in the others, come back here now. And you'll catch it from this. God in his great mystery secret he had before the world begun, he had a threefold purpose in it. Now what we want to go upon this morning is, what is that threefold purpose? Now, I believe the flashlight, the time you click it here, the light's done hit the wall. And you went hundreds of billions and trillions of years of light space and on out into the infinite. See, just go clean on out of everything, time and all, into the eternity. And a great creature that was all that and still is. And then some theologian would come up and try to make three gods out of that person. Out of that being. That would cover all space and time and eternity that as far as you could ever even comprehend and go out into the eternities would be a great being that couldn't even be comprehended. Now listen. But what he wanted to do, he loved fatherhood for he was a father. And the only way he could express it was to become a son of man. Now listen. That's the reason Jesus kept saying the son of man. See, they didn't know what he was talking about, many of them. But now you get it? He wanted to express himself. That was one of his great threefold purposes, was to express himself, identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. Didn't the Bible say that Jesus, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself? Didn't he say that no man could comprehend God in other words, but said, he that seeth the Son has seen the Father? Alright, the first fold that we hold up in this seal book, what did it show? The entire revelation of the Bible, which was the entire revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we see the first fold of this showing it from Christ the mystery of God revealed, is that God wanted to reveal himself to man. And how did he do that? He couldn't be comprehended. So he came down to where we were. He was out into the eternities beyond anything we could comprehend. But yet he came down in the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, to reveal God. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, preached unto angels, received up into glory. See that scripture? Great is a mystery of godliness. See, then it is a mystery, but Jesus Christ is the fullness of that mystery. He's all of that mystery. He's everything that's in the Word. Now listen and think with me. Our scripture then would be right, what we read. That Jesus Christ being the complete revelation of God. So the two identically compare, don't they? This fold of the seventh seal we studied in the seal book, it showed the revelation of Jesus Christ, the one true and living God. This message over here shows what? Christ the mystery of God shows that God wanted to reveal himself. To do that, he came down in Jesus Christ. That's the first fold of it. See, then what is that? That is the complete revelation of God. The seals are the complete revelation of Jesus Christ that man has never been able to understand. Now watch it here just a minute. I want to show you something and just watch what I'm saying real careful. The entire Bible teaches Jesus Christ being God. All right, now, the prophet, if you want to read from page 18 through page 22, or page 17 long in our 18, through page 22 of Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. And he starts off on the road to Emmaus that Jesus, when those two disciples was on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had been crucified, and they were going down there, brokenhearted, that Jesus stepped out and begin to walk with them. And as he began to walk with them there in the Scripture, he began to talk to them about the Scriptures. And he asked them what was wrong, and they began to tell him about this great Messiah that they had believed that this person Jesus was. And the Bible said he began to speak to them about the Scriptures. He began to bring them a lineup of "Thus saith the Lord" of the Scriptures. He began to show them the Scriptures, that all the Scriptures spoke of Jesus. Then he upbraided them for their unbelief and all, because they couldn't see that what Jesus, that man that they had seen there, was a complete fulfillment of all of them Scriptures. What they had seen and walked with and handled was a total, complete fulfillment of the Scriptures. Now, in the Psalms, you'll find a prophet saying that as they sang those Psalms down in those hymns down in, you know, the book of Psalms is Psalms. And as they was down in the temple singing those Psalms, every song they sung was speaking of Jesus. He said when they sung about the nail prints, it says there, you know, they pierced my hands and my feet. They were in the temple singing those songs while he's crucified. Do you mean people today, Brother Dale, then could be killing Jesus Christ anew and singing about him and worshiping him? Yes. Could they be putting him to an open shame before the world? They was doing it then. The greatest religious leaders that ever been in the world was doing it, wouldn't it? But listen, what I'm wanting you to get is they there saw God but didn't catch it. He was the hymns. He was the history. He was all the Bible. Now I want to really lay one in your lap and let you think about it. What's the difference in what you believe about Jesus and what the Baptist believes about him? Oh, I believe him to be the Psalms. I believe him to be the history. I believe him to be the Messiah. So do they. I believed when I was in the Baptist that he was God. They taught me he was God. They taught me he was the Psalms. We read them then, you know. They taught me he was the history. They taught me in the Baptist that all of the tabernacle spoke of Jesus. You didn't hear that back then? I don't mean they preach sermons on it. I'm talking about, don't you remember when you were in the denominational churches? Didn't they tell you about Jesus? Didn't they tell you about him being God? Didn't they tell you about him being what the Psalms were singing about him?
Didn't they tell you that he was the historical side of the Bible? Didn't they tell you that he walked the shores of Galilee? What's the difference in your belief and theirs then? What's the difference in what you believe now and what they believed then? Brother Daugherty, you were in the Pentecostal. Didn't they preach about Jesus being the whole Bible? You see what I'm talking about? Didn't they preach that? What's the difference in what you believe and what they believe? What's the difference in what you believe right now than what to go home, turn the radio on tonight and listen to them talk about Jesus being... They'll read the book of Psalms. And great men have preached great messages. I've heard them preach out of Psalms and out of David and all that, and bring out Jesus Christ and bring out the temple. You can get a Baptist, go to the Baptist bookstore. You can get a book out of the Baptist bookstore that describes the temple of God in the Old Testament that Solomon built and describes every piece of furniture fitting perfectly as showing Jesus was God. Now, can't you do it? Then what's the difference in what you believe and what they believe? We say the seals are broke. Oh, we have the prophet's message. Oh, I can read it to you that he is the Psalms. I can read here where Brother Branham, I'll give you the page numbers for it. You want to go to the Baptist bookstore with me tomorrow? Not throwing off on Baptist, I'm just telling you that what you think you got, you better be careful and check it with the Word, because what you're basing your eternal salvation on could be nothing more than what they're basing theirs on. Didn't I tell you here a while back that they had a deed? You remember the message I preached on it? They've got a deed. They quote the Bible. They'll preach you a better sermon than 90. I'll take you to my brother's church as a Methodist preacher, and he'll out-preach 90% of the people in this message, the real, genuine Bible, talking of what the Bible says. Now, if that ain't right, come and tell me. You hear me on tape. I don't care who gets the tapes to listen to it. If you hear me say that, come tell me that ain't right. You go get somebody and bring them and tell me that I ain't right. What most people believe is nothing more than what they believed in a denomination, except now they're able to read. They say, Brother Branham said so-and-so. Talking to a man just recently, and he was explaining how that he had talked to this woman about how that if she dressed wrong and a man looked on her to lust after, he'd committed adultery with her already. She said, well, I just don't quite believe that. He said, Brother Branham said, that's thus saith the Lord, and said, you rejected Brother Branham. I said, Brother, I said, you didn't even need to quote Brother Branham. Of course, I knew what he believed. That's the reason I said that. I said, you didn't have to quote Brother Branham. The Bible tells you that if he looks on her to lust after, he's committed adultery with her in his heart already. And if she presents herself that way, she's just as guilty as he is. I said, the Bible says that. He said, yes, but said, Brother Branham said, that's thus saith the Lord. He didn't give a hoot what the Bible said. It's what the prophet said. The same man that taught that to his congregation doesn't have Brother Branham's message saying he could marry the girl he married, the woman he married. We bend it when we want to, don't we? We twist when we want to. He was scripturally free to marry. We showed him that, but he wouldn't believe that. He wanted Brother Branham. But you know what? One day he come back and said, have you ever seen that? We was the one that showed it to him. I showed it to him. Brother Moat showed it to him. Brother Hanta showed it to him. Brother Woodby showed it to him. And he rejected all four of us showing it to him in the Bible. He was able to go marry that woman because she was a widow of a priest. And he was a preacher and he could go marry that woman. It was a widow of a priest. She is still a virgin. No, I got to have it from Brother Branham. He ain't got it from Brother Branham. But yet he taught his congregation to only take what Brother Branham said. We twist what we want to, don't we? That won't never come out to the seventh seal. It'll never fit. Those things in me, you, whoever it is, it'll never come out to the seventh seal. But listen, you understand what I'm talking about. We claim to read Brother Branham. We say, boy, we know all about God now. The Baptists teach you all about the tabernacle. Every little instrument in there meant Jesus Christ. The washing of the pots and pans, the washing of the hands, the offering of the sacrifice, the certain way the temple was laid out, every little piece of furniture that was in there represented Jesus. I can take you to a Baptist bookstore and get you that. What's the difference in your belief and theirs? I asked my sister one time, I said, what's the difference in what you believe in the Catholic? And she shook her head finally. She said, oh, they worship Mary and we worship Jesus. I said, they worship Jesus. She couldn't tell me what's the difference in her belief in the Catholic. Can you tell me tonight, if I put you on the spot and drove down questions to you, what would be your answer? Record your answer right now in your mind. What's the difference in what you believe and what the Baptists believe? Well, did the seals break to you then? Brother Brown said, if you missed it now, and I'm saying the seal didn't break to you if you don't know the difference. If you ain't got more now than just saying Jesus was the prophets, Jesus was the Psalms, He was the history, He's all this, that. If you ain't got more than that now, then the seal ain't broke. As I said, God gives us maybe one more change. Because He said, if you miss it in the seals, come back to the message of Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And in the message of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, He starts off telling He's the history, He's the Psalms, He's this and that and the other, but He goes on. He says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's not a denomination under the sun that teaches that. Show me one that teaches Him to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Show me one. They teach Him as the same back there and the same maybe over yonder, but they don't teach Him the same now, because if He did, they'd have to believe this message. The only way you'll know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever is to know this message. That's the only way you could know He was the same. But you understand what I'm talking about. We claim to base it on all of this theology that we've got. And they got theology. We claim to have a deep. They've got a deep. I want an abstract. I want an abstract title deed to where they can't nothing come in and take my property. I don't want it just a deed that any old squatter can just come in and sit down on. I want one that God can erase everything. Now listen. We know the entire Bible teaches us about Jesus being God. The first thing the prophet used was showing us that the Bible was speaking of Jesus. All of it. The Psalms, the history, and everything was Jesus. That's why we believe in one God. But now what's the difference in what we see or saw? What's the difference in what we saw before the seals opened and after they opened unto us? Before the seals opened unto us, we saw Him as Jesus Christ, didn't we? We didn't see Him as another some kind of something. Neither does the Baptist. Neither does the Methodist. The Presbyterian, the Pentecostal, or whoever. We saw Him as Jesus Christ. But we didn't see Him like we see Him now. Because now the seals are broke. The seals are broke. They said, we believe that He was all the things, the Psalms, and all of that. We believe that in the Baptists. But we didn't believe, now listen to this statement and you'll see where it comes down to. We did not believe He was the one and only
God. We believed in one God. See, we believed back there in one God. I've always believed in one God. But I didn't believe in the one and only God. I believed as God in three persons. I had three gods at it. But now I don't believe in God in three persons. And that's the mystery under the first seal. One of the mysteries under the first seal, page 156, is that there is just one true and living God. Brother Branham said that he used to think Jesus hated him. Excuse me. He used to think God hated him. That's 119 of the seal book. He said, I used to think God hated me and Jesus loved me. Now he said, I've never believed in but one God. Now you see what I'm talking about? The prophet himself said, I have never believed in nothing but one God. I'll show you where he said you can't teach a prophet anything but one God. He had never believed in a Trinitarian doctrine. He might have been back there where they taught it at. But a prophet always believed in one God. But here he says, I used to think that God hated me, or was angry. Excuse me, he used the word angry, which is hate, either way. But just make sure that when somebody reads that, they don't think I'm trying to twist it. He said, I thought God was angry with me, but Jesus loved me until I found out they were the same person. He said, Christ is the very heart of God. That's what he was. He was the very heart. See, the seals reveal one God. That's the mystery under the first seal. As I said when I was preaching the seals, you know, a Trinitarian, why, it wouldn't bother him to see Revelations 5 and 6 there. Because he could have Jesus standing here and the Father on the throne and the Holy Ghost coming down. And man, he could just have all three of them there. It wouldn't bother him. But Brother Branham, when he come down to that first seal, what did he say? He said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and he said, out yonder goes a white horse rider. He said, that's another person. He said, see, the scriptures reveal Christ as that one person, and yonder goes another one. He said, that's got to be the Antichrist. Now, you remember that? Read your seal book and see what he's saying. That first fold of that seventh seal in the seal book showed one true and living God. Showed Jesus Christ as that God. The mystery of God revealed shows the same identical thing on the first fold of that seventh seal he's speaking of. There's not two seven seals. He's talking about the seventh seal he preached over here. Then they both compare identically. And like I said, don't just say, the prophet said that he was the Psalm. I've heard people even say it, that they say the denominations, they take Matthew 28:19 for their baptism, but we take Acts 2:38. Like they've got a scripture and we got one. As Brother Lee Vail said, hogwash. They don't do what Matthew 28:19 says. If they did, they'd get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the point? The one true and living God fits all of it. When that prophet saw those seals, there stood a lamb with a book in his hand, and there went another person. Every denominational person just about it down through there taught that that white horse rider was the Holy Ghost, and even Brother Branham taught that until the seals was broke. Take you in the Church Age series if you want to go to them and show you he was teaching the white horse rider was the Holy Spirit until God broke the seals. Now do you see why he's saying, I used to think that God was angry with me. He never believed in two gods or three gods. But he said, I used to think that God was angry with me. But said, Jesus loved me. He was separating the two
so much in saying still he just believed in one person, but he'd separate those as maybe manifestations like till he found out there was just one manifestation. There was just one true and living God. And Jesus was his name. And he said, Jesus said he's the very Christ, said he's the very heart of God. Listen. As Brother Ratliff said, he was thinking one day, you know, about that. We'll get to that later, and you'll see that that fits in with what I'm talking about. All God was, he poured into Christ, and all Christ he poured into the church, and then take us back to the Garden of Eden. We'll get into that later on in the message. But said he was thinking about all God was, he poured into Christ. And said a voice just seemed to speak to him and said, all God was. Now, if all God was, he poured into Christ, that didn't leave any of God left, did it? If there was one speck of God left anywhere, then Jesus wasn't God. All God was, he poured into Christ. Then you wouldn't see God angry at you and Jesus loving you. That's the Antichrist. That's hard to say that, but that's Antichrist. Because that's what we all believe. And that's what the prophet believed until the seals were broke. You think he wouldn't call that Antichrist? Because he did call it the Antichrist. He said, here is the Lamb with the book in his hand, the one true and living God. And he said, there goes another person. He said, see, he's the Antichrist. If you separate the Godhead and put God up here as a object of wrath, and people will paint pictures at him. He's got beady eyes, this mean looking. And then they'll paint a solemn, sweet picture of Jesus. Like he's two different persons. Mm-mm. Jesus is the very heart of God, and wherever Jesus is at, that's where the heart of God's at. Now we know where Jesus is at now then, don't we? Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. I wish you'd read that message. I wish you'd do me a favor and read that message. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I wish you'd just read that. He that's in you, ain't that something like that's the title of it. Alright, then think now. Brother Branham says this message of Christ the mystery of God revealed would cap off everything he'd ever preached. He'd just cap it off. So we see that all God was the first fold. We saw that the first fold of that seventh seal in the seal book was the Christ, the being the very God himself. The revelation of Jesus Christ. On Christ the mystery of God revealed, we see the first fold of it. What was it? That God wanted to reveal himself to man, so he just put all he had in Christ. The Bible said, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So that means in the body of Jesus Christ, I'm just plain language, we can't go nowhere else, that means all God was he put into Christ. If there was anything left over of God, you say, how did God run the world when he come down in that little egg? See, you're thinking carnal and you run the wrong way. The Bible says the world was framed by the Word of God. I can think carnal with you. All he had to do is just stand there before we left and said, world, run on until I get back. It would have run then, wouldn't it? Because it was framed by the Word of God. See, I think carnal too, so that's why I can pick up sometimes maybe your thoughts. Because my thoughts are carnal. See, when he was in that little egg that was in the womb of Mary, the world still run by the Word. All God was, he poured into Christ. That don't mean anything's left over. Now listen. So we see then the first fold of the seventh seal, as we saw it in the seal book, shows the seven thunders, which is the voice of God, are the revelation of God in his Word revealing Jesus Christ. Now that's exactly the same thing you see in Christ the mystery of God revealed. It's the first fold of the seventh seal shows God in Christ where he could reveal himself to man. Think on these things. Now do you see the first fold of Christ the mystery of God revealed? Covered Jesus as the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, all God was, he poured into Christ. See, the seven thunders is the complete revelation of God. The complete revelation of God is the Word. Think on that. Go home and read Christ as a mystery of God revealed. Then you get ahead of me on what I'm going to speak on. See, you can get ahead of me if you want to go ahead and read Christ as a mystery of God revealed. You can get ahead of me what I'm going to speak on, because you'll know what the second fold is. And you'll know what the third fold is. But don't worry about it. That don't cut my job out. God will give me something to tell you. He'll give me a way to speak it like I was talking about there a while ago. If nothing else, he'll give me a way to say it to where that I could say, hey, now you, what you believe in ain't no more than what the Baptists believe. And I can get you to think at least. But see, what we believe now is more than what the Baptists believe. It's more than what the Methodists believe. It's more than what the Pentecostal, Presbyterian, and all of them believe. We believe in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he's here tonight just like he was on the shores of Galilee. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't even be up here preaching. I believe the word of the Lord. I believe God is wanting to live among us, to show himself to us. He promised that when them denominational gathering out there gathers together, that he'd send down his power. I see them gathering together. I'm looking for his power. George, would you come? Just think about it now. Do you see any more than what you saw when you was a Baptist? Or you just got more quotations from Brother Branham? Or do you see it by revelation that he's God? You see it by revelation. George, what is that song? He is Lord. Do you know it? He has risen from the dead and he is Lord. We don't have the music anyway to it, do we? Let's just stand together. Victory in Jesus. It's been quite a while since we sung this, so you'll have to help me now. This. Just think on Jesus Christ. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood that's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Think about the Lord. He is those songs. He is those hymns. He is that, those prophets. He is that history. But I hope you see where we went a little further than what you saw back there. We went on out to see him as Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you can't see that about the Lord, If you don't believe that he's the same today as he was when he walked the shores of Galilee, that if he could save a soul in the book of Acts, that he can do the same today, then you don't believe him like I'm seeing him. If you don't believe that he can heal a person just like he did in the book of Acts, then you don't see him like I do. You say, well, Brother Dale, why are we sick? Why does things happen? Because of our unbelief. Because we do not believe God to be as he wants to be. See, we don't believe him to be Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But just think about him now. Let's just try this one. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power, revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. You know what I was doing just then? Did you notice I went back? Then I come up and I put the book up there. I was thinking about when he healed my eyesight. There was a time I couldn't read. I'd have to turn a book like this. I was wearing glasses to read. The sights on my gun would fuzz and I couldn't see too good. I couldn't read anything. I'd have to get to a certain way to read. They're so good right now. How many of you can read the pages off of that, the words off of that pages are at that distance? But how many of you can read them? You know what, nearsighted and farsightedness, I don't know which one's which. I never did understand it. They say that man's farsighted because he can't see up close, or he's nearsighted because he can't see off somewhere. I never did understand that, but I can read it right there. That means my eyesight's all right in both places. You remember when he healed you? Jesus wants to live among us, church. That's my goal. That's my all I've ever aimed at all my life. To see Jesus. It's took the bumps and the heartaches and the trials for me to see him like I'm supposed to see him. Well, praise the Lord for the bumps and the heartaches and trials. Sometimes I seem to get my share, but praise the Lord. Send them on. Because every time I do, I see Jesus. And I put him there, and everything comes out all right. Let's sing this last one if you have any need. If you don't, we're through. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Sing it to him now. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Lord Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity of being here. We thank you for your word. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your presence here with us. Father, just go with each one of us. Break your bread of life unto us. Help us to walk in the light. And Lord, as we walk, help us to walk softly, that, Lord, we not be a stumbling block before others, but that may, Lord, our footsteps be altered of you. Bless the people as they travel on the highways. Lord, supply the necessary needs, both physical and spiritual, unto each one this year. Forgive our many sins and guide us upward in you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus.